You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And come to the site now, we're getting you ready for Super Bowl 53, the Patriots and the Rams in Atlanta. All next week, I'll be there. So I'll have some dispatches from Atlanta there starting on Tuesday there. And we'll look at my mock draft on Monday that's up, and look at the Senior Bowl recap show in relation to fantasy football there on Monday. We have an abbreviated week here. We had the holiday on Monday, and just a little catching up there after the championship games. But we still wanted to break down the takeaways here as we go forward, kind of wrapping a bow on the two losing teams there, the Chiefs and the Saints from that weekend in the AFC and NFC, and then looking forward a little bit to the Patriots and Rams, an early indication of how we think this game is going to go. And next week we'll have a little bit more specifics in that. We'll do the mock draft show, then we'll look at the DFS look at DraftKings there for the one game slate, obviously, the showdown that you're going to play in Super Bowl 53 as well, and some other good stuff along the way as we get it there on site throughout the week. So check it out there next week here on Locked On Fantasy Football. But we'll get in this show here for you to give you that insight that we promised. Just abbreviated week here. It's a little shorter, so still wanted to make sure you had the insight here. We don't go away here in the offseason on Locked On Fantasy Football. And we'll start with the Chiefs here, who went into the offseason and losing their tough loss, 37-31. They don't touch the ball in overtime. Great thriller in regulation, 31-31. But the Patriots win the toss, and essentially that really helps the Patriots get in the Super Bowl. Mahomes, tough first half, and I think that really caught up to the Chiefs here, that they couldn't really score until the fourth quarter, where they had 24 points. They had no points in the first half, 7 in the third quarter, and eventually that allowed the Patriots to have one extra shot here in the possession. So the Chiefs didn't take care of business early, at least competitive, and that's kind of what happened here. Slow start for Mahomes, but still got revved up here, 295 yards and 3 TDs. Damien Williams had 2 of those TDs receiving, 5 for 66. The other one went to Travis Kelce on a short one, and then Damien Williams also had a rushing touchdown in the game. Now, the Chiefs couldn't run effectively, and that really hurt them overall because they couldn't keep the ball away from Tom Brady, have those long drives, and finish on the other side. And when you look at the Chiefs going forward, I mean, what the Patriots did particularly well in that game was take away Tyreek Hill. He only had one catch for 42 yards. A great adjustment from the first matchup where he did anything he wanted. The couple takeaways are Damien Williams. He's got that contract extension. He's right now the feature back for the Chiefs. I don't see any reason why they would deviate from this plan. I mean, you could draft a back there just in case, Williams. He's a little bit on the older side. He's been around as a while with the backup with the Dolphins. Supposed to be the third stringer insurance for Spencer Ware behind Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, but really has shown a lot of the qualities that are successful in Andy Reid back, especially in the passing game. I think that was a bit of a surprise, but a complete back here, ran hard, finished drives here. So Williams is in a great position to be the lead Chiefs back, and we know immediately being the lead Chiefs back, that is a first-round pick here. I mean, Kareem Hunt was the back end. We were a little skeptical on what he was going to do, but then he was smashing it while he was out there. Unfortunately, his situation, and we'll see what happens with him, where he ends up potentially in Chicago or Philadelphia, where they've been talking about him returning to one of the familiar offenses with either Doug Peterson or Matt Nagy, but Williams looks like the guy here again. We'll watch to see if the Chiefs draft a player. It's less likely now that that happens with Williams doing so well and getting signed. And if they do, it'll be, again, a change of pace type player, maybe someone that he used in the passing game eventually. Spencer Ware is a free agent, so he's not going to be back. So it'll be more of a Ware replacement here and getting some depth because they also don't have Hunt. And we'll see if they want Darrell Williams back at all. So there's that. So the Chiefs, again, right now you'd expect Williams to be the lead, and whoever they presumably draft out in free agency going to be kind of the guy that gets the ball and a handful of touches behind him. Now, Sammy Watkins, this was a good development for him going into the offseason. Four catches, 114 yards in this one. Came back from the foot injury. Looked pretty good here. Eight targets. So it was a little bit of a misconnection, hit or miss between Patrick Mahomes. But Watkins, I think, could have a bigger role next year. His foot injury has been nagging in different forms in the past, but you saw that if you bottle up Hill, that Watkins can get going. So in another year with Mahomes, I think that can really help Watkins. And I don't know, maybe they'll go out and get another receiver here. DeMarcus Robinson was their next best option. Chris Conley just kind of faded away pretty hard here. So they need another threat. So I could see that so they can keep Tyreek Hill consistently outside. And Watkins as well, have like a true slot option there that they could look at in free agency or the draft. So maybe a Cole Beasley, who's been disappointed with the Cowboys, maybe that is an option here in the middle of the field for the Chiefs. And that, I think, would really help Patrick Mahomes, a dedicated slot guy that can open as well to help Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. So Watkins, again, sleeper wide receiver 3 again next year. Just want some a little bit more consistency from that number 2 spot beyond Tyreek Hill there. And we didn't have it with Robinson, Conley, and Watkins injury and all that this particular year. Now Kelce, only 3 catches, 23 yards in this game for TD, but he's going to be locked in. He's going to be in the conversation there with Zach Ertz as the top tight end in fantasy. I think right now I would lean towards Ertz because of the consistency and the domination in terms of catches and all that, and connection, especially if Carson Wentz returns and that connection there. So Zach Ertz is leaning toward to be number 1. Kelce, very close to number 2. And then we'll have to see next. I think George Kittle could be in the conversation as well there. With the Rob Gronkowski probably heading into retirement after the Super Bowl. We'll talk about it in a moment. But that's how I kind of look at the Chiefs next year. And Patrick Mahomes, how high do you take him? That's the final question. You look at the Chiefs. I think a lot of people are going to look at him in the first round. I mean, it's really hard to duplicate 50 touchdowns. We know that. We see that from Tom Brady. We see that from Peyton Manning. But 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, you can carry your team. I think the goal here is to still look for a value. There's so many good quarterbacks. You don't know if Mahomes is going to be that much better than everyone else. Keep in mind that I think you had Andrew Luck there next in touchdown passes, and there was quite a big drop-off. And Mahomes just was so special that I think some people will be targeting in the first round, but he's clearly the first quarterback off the board. No later than the third round here in most formats, at the very least. I think in most cases he'll be a second rounder. But what Aaron Rodgers once was in fantasy football drafts, Patrick Mahomes will be that. And we have plenty of time to discuss that, but that's a preliminary indication there. And now, make sure that you're checking out all the great shows here on the Locked On Network, especially NFL Now with the Senior Bowl. We have a lot of good reports from there, wrapping up all the action from Mobile during the practices, who's rising, who's falling, what the coaches and executives are saying for all these teams. Check it out. We're here all offseason. Every team here got you covered. Check out all those team-by-team shows. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow me by Vinny Iyer on Facebook, at Vinny Iyer on Twitter. All our great hosts there as well, connecting to you on social media. Anything you're looking to request and hear about our shows and want more out of our shows, please connect with us there, and we'll do our best to accommodate and keep adjusting the show to you, the listener, to give you the best insight, information, and entertainment that you're looking for here on Locked On Network. Be right back here to start looking at the Saints and their takeaway from the final game for them in the NFC Championship. Well, it was a tough one for the Saints here, losing. We know controversial play there with the ending against the Rams, that no call on Nickell Robey-Coleman there on Tommy Lee Lewis down the stretch may have helped the Saints kick a field goal and run the clock almost down to nothing. Instead, the Rams get enough time. The Saints drive stalls a little bit earlier. They drive down, are able to tie the game with a Greg Zuerlein field goal, win the game with a Greg Zuerlein field goal in overtime there. And the Saints, you look at Drew Brees really didn't have his best game here. 249 yards, two TDs, interception, overtime interception there. Only 6.2 yards per attempt. Was sacked a couple times, which was also bizarre. They just couldn't run the ball in New Orleans. 48 yards on 21 attempts. 9 for 31 for Mark Ingram. 8 for 15 only for Alvin Kamara. Great job by the Rams run defense. He had 11 for 96 for Kamara, however, as a receiver to make up for it. There, Mark Ingram, 2 for 6, so not much at all for Mark Ingram. You had Michael Thomas being bottled up after the big game against the Eagles, 4 catches for 36 yards on 7 targets, and Ted Ginn, 3 for 58 on 6 targets. So a really tough outing there when it wasn't Kamara in the passing game for the Saints. That's why they're held to 23 points. Now, the Saints, what I'll say with the takeaways, they're going to have to make a lot of decisions here, how they're going to figure out some of their personnel going forward. They have a lot of cap issues, so we'll see some changes on defense. But, again, Michael Thomas, I think that what hurt was that consistent presence. I mean, with Tre'Quan Smith, we'll see if he has a bigger role next year. Keith Kirkwood was nowhere to be found in this game as well, so he didn't have a catch. So see if Kirkwood is a guy that they look in the middle of the field. Is it Austin Carr? Is it Tre'Quan a little bit more over Ted Ginn, who had his big play moments when he was out there, but still showed some signs of slowing down? They need that legitimate number two threat to Michael Thomas, because we saw this with Michael Thomas. Either some team would try to crazily cover him with one guy and they'd move him around and that was it, and then he would just dominate his opponent one-on-one, or it would be a disappointing game like this, 4 for 36. So we want some more consistency in terms of, we don't want the high monster ceiling and then a very low floor for Thomas. We want that consistency, and the only way you get that is with the number two option. Think about it with DeAndre Hopkins or Antonio Brown. They had the legitimate two guys show up there, and it really helped that number one receiver there. So Michael Thomas, again, we want the consistency. He's been awesome for fantasy. We're not doubting that, but we'd like to see a little bit more, again, from that number two, and we'll see. Tre'Quan has a chance to have a bigger role here. Ted Ginn, I think, would fade a little bit. Now, tight end Benjamin Watson is already going to retire, so we'll see there. They didn't really have any great options yet. I mean, Josh Hill was their guy. They had Garrett Griffin catch a touchdown this game. So Watson was inactive, so you have Hill and Griffin. We'll see if they go anywhere else here at tight end. And maybe Dan Arnold gets a chance to be the starter and be a significant contributor there. They've really struggled, again, to replace that position pretty consistently without Jimmy Graham. Watson did that at times, but now he's headed into retirement here. So it's tough there for the Saints to recover that position. So again, getting those complementary targets is going to be key. What do they do with Taysom Hill? I don't know if he'll be as used as much next year. Kamara is still going to be that guy that you trust the most as that first-round pick. In fantasy, Drew Brees, again, this disappointment ending there. If they can run the ball and play some defense, which they did for most of the year, Brees' ceiling can be limited. So we'll have to see how he factors in. I think you have Mahomes, again, number one, as we mentioned, on the boards for everyone. Then it's kind of interesting from there. I mean, Andrew Luck will probably get some consideration. Aaron Rodgers back in the fold there with Matt LaFleur and being fully healthy again. We'll see how he can go up the board. So Brees probably a little lower than that. I think he was a good sleeper based on his value. He's going 8th to 10th. But I think if he goes in the top 5, I think he might be a little bit of a stretch there in 2019. But the Saints overall should be a better defensive running team out of the gate. Kamara's the guy there. But definitely a disappointing ending for the Saints in this championship game. We'll talk about the Rams, and then we'll come back to the Patriots, the favorite in the Super Bowl. The Rams are the underdogs in the Super Bowl. And what you take away there is we'll see about Todd Gurley. That's the biggest thing here. C.J. Anderson, 16 carries, 44 yards. Not that effective. Gurley only had 4 carries for 10, but got the touchdown there. Having that extra week, 2 weeks there, we should probably get Gurley at close to full speed here in the Super Bowl. So I would expect Gurley to be the main feature guy in the Super Bowl. He just gives them too much versatility versus Anderson. Great power back and running through teams and all that, but I know he fits the system well and all that with the blocking, but Gurley is the guy that gives them versatility, can create a matchup problem and an attention-grabbing entity there for the Patriots defense there. Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's settled in. He's just gotten better and better. In some ways, the Cooper Kupp injury has allowed maybe a better zone in there, Jared Goff and Brandon Cooks. They were off to a good start in the offseason doing that, but 7 catches, 107 yards here. So Brandon Cooks starting to look like the number one. He's there. Robert Woods, we've seen of late, 6 catches, 33 yards on 10 targets, where he is kind of settling into the board of that number two type role. And Cup more than 3, Woods had been acting more like the number one. But Cooks is the guy, when this Rams team is hitting, he's looking good. Josh Reynolds, 4 for 74 on 7 targets. But we know Cup is going to be back. And we'll see it with Reynolds and how we treat him in the Super Bowl. But we really liked Reynolds and Cooks a little bit more than Woods in this game. And that's kind of what happened there. So the tight ends we're always not sure of. But Gerald Everett, we know he has a potential 2 catches, 50. 4 catches, 25 yards, and a TD for Tyler Higbee. So Gerald Everett, I'm waiting for them to just let him explode a little bit. He did a little bit of that in that game, Higbee. So these are two guys that can really have an effect there. And that kind of hurt Woods' production as well as Reynolds having the better matchup overall than Woods. So I think the biggest question, we'll set that up early, is who's Stephon Gilmore going to be on in the Super Bowl? Going to be Cooks or Woods there? How are they going to handle this? Are they going to put two guys over there to stop the big plays of Cooks? But Cooks, again, you feel really good about him being the Rams' number one next year. I think Kupp and Woods are more of that co-number two, wide receiver two options. But hopefully Cooks has been more of a wide receiver three. I think he can be a borderline wide receiver 2-1 next year, given that he has this experience with Jared Goff a little bit late or into the mix than these other two guys, Woods and Kupp. So good news for Cooks going forward. We'll be right back here. This is what we have for the Rams as we go in the Super Bowl. We'll be right back here looking at the Patriots' takeaways from the AFC Championship game. First, I'll mention this. If you got a way to listen to Locked On Fantasy Football or any other shows on the Locked On Network, you got to think about doing it in your car. Or, you have your smart speaker. You can just say, play Locked On Fantasy Football. You're set. It's as easy as that to connect to the Locked On Network and start listening to our show. So make sure you're doing that. The easiest way to listen, and anywhere, whether you're in a car, at home, with your smart speaker, or on the go, we've got you covered here on the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to break down the Rams and Patriots from that perspective there on Locked On Fantasy Football. Now, the Patriots here are a team that we know has evolved into more of a rushing team in the playoffs, and they had to do that. And I talked about this quite a bit, is that this is their strength now, their offensive line. They don't have the downfield passing threat as much. So you had Sonny Michel. This kid is special, 29 carries, 113 yards. It was a grind at times, but ended up with 2 TDs. Rex Burkhead, 2 TDs. So this team rushed for 176 yards on 48 carries. They stuck with the run even when it wasn't always grinding the way they wanted. But they stuck with it, got those 3-4 yards consistently, and set up those manageable second and third downs for Tom Brady. So Michelle is just special. Again, fully healthy, no knee issue there going into next season, hopefully coming out of the Super Bowl where he's there. I mean, James White has been that valuable guy, 10 touches here for, you know, good 72 yards. But again, James White is more of a PPR option only. He did take over and was doing a lot of things early season when Burkhead was hurt, Michelle was hurt. But White, they like him in this more specialized role, and Michelle is clearly the lead dog there when he gets 29 carries. So first round pick. They really love Michelle, treating him like Deion Lewis was at the end of last year. So Michelle, I think, is in that conversation for a second round pick with RB1 upside, just the way the Patriots can run the ball, that strong offensive line going forward. And Rob Gronkowski, we mentioned, 6 for 79. I mentioned he had to have a big game against the Chiefs to really help the Patriots win, and they did. And he had 11 targets, but Super Bowl 53 is looking like his final game here as a Patriot. So there's going to be an adjustment there. Obviously, Julian Edelman, that's going to help probably his value, 7 for 96 on 10 targets. Once he came back and looked good from the suspension, everything was back to normal. So Julian Edelman's going to be locked in as a wide receiver 2 in a PPR with a little bit more pop there than you think for a standard league as well. So we'll have to see how the rest of this receiving core shakes out. Could they draft a receiver? I think that's very possible. Josh Gordon experiment didn't quite work out. So Chris Hogan had 5 for 45 in this one. Philip Dorsett, there's been a good connection there, but Moore is a possession receiver. He had one catch for 29 yards, a long one there before halftime for a TD. Cordarrelle Patterson, just a gadget player. He's clearly not going to hold on to the ball. Dropped a couple passes here that could have been big plays for the Patriots. So we'll have to see. The only real sure thing here is Julian Edelman and James White being big factors in the passing game. Everything else is a question mark, as we know, for the Patriots going forward. They're going to be still continue to be a run-oriented team. I know it's hard to say when Tom Brady throws for 348 yards that they were run-oriented, but they were. They were short passing and run-oriented. When you consider he threw 30 times or completed 30 passes in the game, 46 attempts, that's what you look at here, threw two picks in the game. So he wasn't all that effective overall. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, higher degree of difficulty with 4 sacks, longer down distance came through there. So Brady grinded through a tough game, but came through with the winning drives, of course, to give them the lead there at the end of regulation, and then come through with the touchdown drive in overtime. So when it counts, Tom Brady was still getting it done. But again, Tom Brady, you're going to curb his number as expectation for next year, especially when you look at the weapons dwindling a little bit, and this team being able to run the ball and finish drives with the run and get those touchdowns as well. So a lot of things could be in transition for the Patriots after Super Bowl 53 against the Rams. On that side of things, I think Sonny Michel is another key factor. The Rams have been better against the run, but this Rams team has struggled against the run typically, and the Patriots have really established that well, and they're not afraid for the volume for Michel here to get the job done. So I think Michel and White could be big factors, again, as well as Julian Edelman working away from Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters in the more in the middle of the field there for the Patriots in Super Bowl 53. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of the takeaways from the AFC and NFC championship games leading into Super Bowl 53 and the Rams and Patriots, putting to rest what we saw in the Chiefs and Saints now and what we expect going forward. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next week there with some reports from Atlanta and Super Bowl 53.